Lord, we're going to look into your word, as always, that what's said would be of you and remembered and retained and applied. What's not, fall to the ground and blow away. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you can imagine, we have been prayerfully considering how we navigate each step of the way with this, you know, with our new current reality of dealing with a global pandemic and race issues and economy issues and what do you do about school and just doing all these adjustments. Our highest, biggest concern, of course, was how do we staff? What do we do? And so you look at 2020, and I think you've seen the cartoon maybe with Back to the Future. Whatever you do, don't set it to 2020, right? Because it's going to be a rough year. And I remember starting the year and feeling led and compelled to go on a trip to one of the least reached places. And I thought, well, is this the right thing? And I doubted it. But through that, when we step out in obedience, when our focus is on the right things, and then we make ourselves available to do the right things, and as we seek to learn and apply what we learn, God delights in that, and he guides our path. And so I could have never imagined that I would have met some guy from the district I didn't know very well, and that was how we ended up with Josh after like 20 months without an official youth pastor. So, you know, the Lord is on the throne, and that is really important for, I felt that was a big ask, by the way. Not only youth, but we also, how about someone with music, and how about this, right? Elders, are you nodding your head? Big ask. Praise the Lord. You know, no one's perfect. No one. But it's helpful for us as we look forward to, okay, what's the fall going to look like? How long is this going to last? We don't know. But God does. And so we look backwards at how he's been faithful in answering our prayer, and we look forward, anticipating with wide eyes how he's going to make a way, and he's going to accomplish his purposes. So, as you can imagine, I was praying, Lord, what is the fall going to look like? What do we need to do? What's the thing we most need? And my bent, as any of the elders could probably tell you, and my history is leadership development, because I see everything, as John Maxwell says, and we'll see this in a little bit, rises and falls on leadership. Because if the leaders are doing well, then we're modeling it for everybody else. And so, oh, you put it up. Very good, John. You're on the ball. If the leaders are doing well, then everybody else comes in line. And so I'm convinced that what God has for us that you can be looking forward to is we're going to be studying the pastoral epistles. Now, you may say, I'm not a pastor. Well, they don't have to do with only the pastors. They have to do with every single one of us, not just the pastoral staff, vocational ministers, not just the elders, not the deacons or deaconesses, but it has to do with every one of us. Here's why. Because it is the most intimate and personal letters from the Apostle Paul to his protege, his disciple, Timothy. How many of you know, like, this bulletin cover that has a picture on it? Can anybody identify who that is? Can anybody over 30 identify who that is? Well, Tony Starks and Peter Parker. Yeah, so you got, and I owe this to Josh. I give credit where credit is due. I said, I'm looking for someone who's got a protege. I was like, yes, of course. Iron Man mentoring Spider-Man because he wants Spider-Man to become great so he too can save the world. That's where the rubber meets the road, because if the focus is right on the right things, if the investment of time is right, and if we are applying the right knowledge, you're going to have a good outcome. Put Christ in the formula, and you have what I call, and this is so simple, is fat people. All right? Now, I'm not talking about COVID-19. You know what that means? That you gain 19 pounds during the COVID pandemic. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people, Jeff's saying amen. I'm talking about people that are faithful, available, and teachable. And this is so simple and so basic and so straightforward that I'm almost embarrassed to start this way, but it is so rich and so needed for us to remember this. So today we're going to look at this, and we're going to see how Timothy is faithful, available, and teachable, and how he invites us to do the same. 30 years ago, almost exactly, after graduating from college and entering into adult life, as some of your people you know are doing, I traveled extensively looking for meaning in life, and I just had concluded that Christianity is one of many philosophies. It is a philosophy, but it's way more than that. That was until I met some people that looked different than anybody else I've ever met. They looked like ordinary people on the outside, but how they live their life, how their subtle tones, how they talked with each other, how they interacted, what their focus was, what their passion was, I actually said this to them, which is, tells you where I was at the time. I don't know what you're drinking, but I want what you got. Because I see it in you, and I want that. They looked different, as Paul says. And we see in the first thing that we read is, I have no one like him, Timothy, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. How many of you know that we live in a world that is not like that? They're concerned for me, myself, and I. And that's how we come. Did you know that's how we're born? Those cute little babies, they're so cute, aren't they? You know, one of the first words they say is, mine, right? You actually have to teach them to share. They don't do that automatically. So, leadership is critical because if we're not following Christ, there are terrible consequences that result. We could have a testimony time now, and we could tell horror stories of how we followed some lie and we were wooed astray and we ended up hurt, devastated, sucked into, and filled with regret. And so, who leads us matters in every area of our life. As Maxwell says, everything really truly does rise and fall on leadership. And so, as we look at Timothy, we'll see how these letters relate to every single area of our life that is important. Do you know, like, if we're putting our hope in who's in the Oval Office, we're going to be sorely disappointed. Because I'll just tell you, I hope I'm wrong. Whoever is elected, it's going to be chaotic. Because people are going to be disappointed. So if we put our hope in that, I'm not saying you don't pay attention, don't do whatever. But what I am saying is if your hope is in who is in the Oval Office, well, Paul didn't put his hope in Nero, I assure you. Nero was a terrible dictator. But if we put our hope in Christ and we seek to imitate him, then we will turn the world right side up. Our culture looks a lot like the place where Paul and Timothy were, where people were thought as objects rather than individuals. Have you noticed that people treat others as objects rather than individuals? People don't seem to care. Have you noticed that kindness seems to be an increasingly rare commodity? Jennifer was on the boardwalk. You know, I have to wear a hat because, you know, right? So she said, oh, that's a cool hat. What's that? And he said, it's a social distance hat. And it's a good thing I wasn't there. It just is. Just trust me. How rude. Say, oh, just keep social, you know, no, that's all. It's a hat, whatever, right? That's characteristic of what our world is like. Not everybody's like, but it's becoming more and more like that. And this is promised in 2 Timothy 1 through 4, when it says in the last days, people will be cold, they'll be lovers themselves, right? So kindness is becoming a rare commodity, and everybody's out for themselves. And we live in a world where, frankly, we are just not sure who we can and cannot trust. But as we follow Christ, we become like him, and we shine brightly in a dark place. So we'll have people saying, I don't know what you got, but I like what I see. And they can tell it. So today we're going to be introduced to Timothy, Paul's protege, one he considers to be a close son. And his character is described as faithful, available, and teachable. Look at Philippians 2, 19 through 20. I've got 20 up there. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon. Why does he want to send Timothy? Well, because he wants to help the churches. But listen, he says, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. He's so confident in what God is doing and in his protege that he knows the report is going to come back good, that God is doing good things. Why? Look at verse 20. For I have no one like him. Have you met someone like that? So I've never met people like you. I've no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. What a contrast this is to verse 21. Verse 21 is a picture of the people around us who are concerned with me, myself, and I. Verse 21 says, they all seek their own interests, not those of Christ. So how he is like no one else is that, first of all, the F for faithfulness in the fat acrostic has to do with what we are focused on. What are we passionate about? What is most important to us? The word there actually is for anxiety, and I'll get to that in a minute, because that's what consumes us and concerns us. Where's our focus? If we focus on the right things, that's the first requirement to becoming like no one else and reflecting Jesus in how we live. It's verse 21, they all seek their own interest, not those of Christ, is the opposite of the great commandment. We know the great commission, go make disciples of all nations, right? Teaching them to obey everything I've taught. The great commandment is love God, love people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. It's the opposite of that. They're not loving God or not loving people. They're out for themselves. And we were just like that before we came to know Christ. And we're still being weaned of that. On the cover of the bulletin, there you have Spider-Man and Iron Man. The focus that Spider-Man has is, I want to be a superhero. What do all superheroes want to do? Anybody know? What do they want to do? They want to save the world, right? They want to save the world. I want to be like Iron Man who saves the world once again from some evil foe. Why are these films, whether they're action heroes or war movies, why are we interested in those? Because deep down they resonate with us because we know that the world is not right. And we want someone to save it and to turn it right. And that is the gospel. That's the good news, that there is a solution. Timothy is faithful. His concern is on Christ and on others. He is genuinely concerned. And the word there is anxious for people, for their well-being. Faithful is his focus. He is genuinely anxious. We love people. We're to love people and we're to be concerned with them and be concerned primarily that they connect to Christ, because if they connect to Christ, everything else falls in line. I've never ever met even one person who's regretted becoming a follower of Christ. I've can tell lots of stories about people that regret not coming to Christ sooner because they just so wish that they'd lived differently. So we're called to love people. People in the church. Always easy? Of course it's easy, right? Not always. Because the closer we get to one another, the more we discover that we're human. We're called to love people in our families. Is there ever friction in your families? Oh, sure there is. Sure there is. It goes broader than that. How about for the people that we work with? Do you enjoy the people you work with? Some of them. But what about the cantankerous guy? Remember when we were in Butler, we had they were going to start a Bible study in Armstrong Cable where Christopher worked, and they sent an email out to invite, well, let's just start with Christians, and then we'll see how that goes, and then we'll invite outsiders. Well, you know what happens with emails, right? They get forwarded. So the most cantankerous person in the entire company, this by this guy's estimation, shows up at the Bible study and then starts reading More Than a Carpenter, even at his desk. And he said it was a dilemma because, you know who I'm talking about, Chris, right? It was a dilemma because here he's a manager and this guy reports to him and he's sitting there reading a Christian book. And he's like, if he reads the Christian book on company time, he's wasting company time. However, if he reads this and embraces it, he'll be changed and he'll be a more productive employee. So what do? You love those, even the most cantankerous ones, but it requires a lot of prayer. So our focus is on their welfare, even the cranky ones. Faithful means concern. It means that we have to pray like crazy. Because for us to love others because of our brokenness and our flaws, it means we need God's filling in us to enable us to love the unlovely. It's an opportunity for us to pray and then look for an opportunity to listen and ask how they're doing. Our faithful concern for others is certainly difficult. Those in your family are looking for Timothy. Those in your workplace are looking for Timothy. Your neighbors are looking for Timothy. Your students and associates, your friends, are looking for Timothy, someone who's like no one else, someone who is like a Spider-Man or an Iron Man that is out for others and not out for themselves, that has a genuine connection with the King. The reason these movies are such hits is because deep down it's a desire everybody has. The key for us to be faithful is the object of our concern. I was really surprised when I looked at this. If you look at 2:20 compared to Philippians 4, you look at that and I mean, the word there is anxious. And if I read this, I'm going to get it wrong because I have it memorized in a different version. So do not be anxious about anything, but in all things with prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But the phrase there, I want you to see, is Paul is writing in verse 6 of 4, do not be anxious about anything. So wait a minute, Paul. Hold on a second. He is affirming Timothy because I have no one like them who is genuinely anxious about others. See, what this has to do with, the key for us in our faithfulness is, first of all, the focus of our concern. The key is that if we are anxious or concerned about other people's welfare, that they are trusting God, it is something that we can be responsible for. It is God's desire for them. It's a prayer burden. It's an opportunity for us to be used of God. So that kind of concern is appropriate. But anxiety about things that we cannot control, like the economy, like our jobs, like all sorts of our health and other stuff like that, we should take whatever measures we need to do in that, be responsible, but then give it to the Lord. Because we cannot control the future. Faithfulness means that we're concerned about people finding God as their Savior, their strength, and for us to not get distracted by the cares of the world. Look at Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus' words, and he says, seek first, very familiar verse, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Put God first, and everything else falls in line. And then this is such a great verse. Therefore, once again, do not be anxious about what? About tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Or as the NIV puts it, each day has enough trouble of its own. Somebody say amen. Amen. Isn't that the truth? I've got enough challenges each day. I don't need to go in the future and see where the enemy might help to lead me to worry about. And how many of you are gifted in that? I think it's human nature to worry about the what ifs. Give the what ifs to God and put your concern, your anxiety on people and pray for them. And look for opportunities to be God's hands and his feet. So Matthew 6, 34, do not worry about tomorrow, be anxious about tomorrow. And Philippians 4, cast your cares, your anxieties on God. And all these verses that talk about anxieties, give them to God because they're his problem to deal with. And we focus our concern on encouraging others to transfer their trust from us and anything else to having their needs met as they tap their root down deep into the ground in their faith, and they draw up life that comes only from God, that nourishes and fills our soul. That's why we're anxious. That's why Timothy is commended for being anxious, because he's so concerned that the churches would be healthy and so full of life. We're like no one else when we care, especially for those that are close to us, even those that are difficult. So F is focus. It's what our anxiety or our concerns are directed to. Focus on the right things. If you focus on the right things, it's the first step in being faithful, available, and teachable. Available has to do with not only being focused on the right things, but investing in the right things. Spend your time on the right things. Be available for the right things. Do you think that God might have some sort of an opportunity for you? Do you know you all have spheres of influence that nobody else has? God puts you in places. How many of you know that if you ever pray, Lord, just use me today, that will be answered. I dare you to try it. It will be answered. So we look with wide eyes and say, God, just use me. Available. Philippians 2:22. But you know Timothy's, look at this here, proven worth. What a statement about someone. Here's his proven worth. How as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Where did this all begin? We look back in Acts chapter 16, verse 3. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, so he took him. What did it cost him? I said last service that Josh can explain this later on, being a Jewish believer. And he was circumcised. Circumcised him because the Jews were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Interesting thing is, how is it that this Greek guy could be a Christian, because Christians are Jewish? Now we have a hard time imagining how Jewish people can be Christian. That's what's going on here. But Timothy is available to travel with Paul. And travel they did. Paul said, hey, I'd like to take him with me. He seems good character, good guy, loves God. And so in Acts 16, they went to Philippi. In Acts 17, they went to Thessalonica and Berea. In Acts 18 and 19, to Corinth and Ephesus. In Colossians 1, they were in Rome. Timothy's name is mentioned no fewer than 5 times in Paul's letters, and we even see that he had a stint in prison, which is not very romantic. It's difficult. It's challenging. But the point is, not only was his focus right, his availability, his willingness, how he's was choosing to spend his time was right on. Hebrews 13:23, you should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Available means 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Look at this, what he does. We sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to do what? To establish and exhort you in your faith. Why establish and exhort? Because getting it right matters. Sports fans, raise your hand, right? Sorry about this year, but the Flyers are, they did make it, I understand, by Doug, right? So that's good. They're progressing. No athlete will amount to anything. They certainly won't reach their highest potential if they don't have people exhorting them. They don't have people speaking into their life. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. That's a preview of T for teachable. But that's what Timothy's doing. He wasn't only available to travel with Paul. Eventually, Paul left him behind in places and said, "Hey, I'm stuck in jail. Would you mind going to Ephesus?" "Sure, okay." And he authorized him. We'll see that in the weeks to come. But it starts with a willingness to be used. Do you have that willingness and that desire to be used of God? If you do, I promise you, he will use you. He will use you, and you will look back at the end of your life, and you will say, "That's cool. God, you use someone like me. Wow." Availability has to do with our time. Like spending money, we have to be careful with it. We have to assess how we're using it. Like choosing to stay late to help a coworker. Could that glorify God? Some coworkers having a hard time? I think yes. They're looking for someone who's to help them, and they're struggling, and you might be that person. What about not rushing? Not rushing, having margin in our life. If we're rushing, how well are we listening? Not at all. I think I told Josh and maybe Betty, I said, don't tell me things on Sunday, you know, between services. They won't go in because I'm focused on this, right? But there needs to be a time when you say, this is a time when I'm fully present and I'm giving you my undivided attention. What about dropping off a meal to someone? Take planning? Yep, it does. What about taking time to call someone or text someone? It doesn't take much. You might say, "Yeah, I have in mind my coworker, but I haven't seen them in a long time." All the more reason to send a text. "How are you?" Send. Or some of you can do that. If I do, it comes up something completely different, and I have to put a star. But nevertheless, people are looking for those that are genuinely concerned about their welfare. And that's the focus. The availability is when we execute and we say, "You know, such and such is on my mind. Do you think that could be the Holy Spirit putting such and such in your mind?" Very probably. Even if it's not, you're doing something good. We have to say no to some of the good things to do the best things. But being available has to do with our faith, because we expect that as we make ourselves available with the right focus, that God is going to do extraordinary things through us. So in faithfulness, Timothy's focus is on the right things, people growing in their faith. Availability means that we're spending our time right. Teachability, the last one, has to do with how we are applying what we know. It means that we are listening, we are learning, and we are doing the right things. Faithful, focused on the right things. Available, doing the right things. Teachable means that we're learning and living the right things. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Do you think that's a, that's an interesting thing like that? Anybody do that? You read the Bible and it doesn't necessarily get under your skin? That happens to me. Way better if you go, let me chew on that a little bit. How does that apply to my life? What the things that you firmly believe become convictions. You say, in this applies to this situation in my life, and so therefore I'm going to live differently and I'm going to apply this. Knowing picks up, having learned what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how, look how far back, from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to do what? Make you wise. Make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. And so it has to do with applying what you have learned, just like a fine athlete has a whole set of coaches that are working on very specific skills to shave off a fraction of a second or make you more accurate or make you more stronger and effective or to help you heal up. We listen to what they are saying, and we listen to what the Bible is saying, and then we apply it to our lives. Do you know what that is? This is a hard word. It's a life of repentance. But I'll tell you something. No excellent athlete resents coaches for helping them to become who they are. And we don't have a good coach who's for athletics. We have the King of the universe, our Savior, who loves us and gave himself for us, that says, listen to me, learn from me. I love you, and I want you to be everything I've created you to be. So there is none like you. But the problem is, it requires one thing. Let me put it this way. When you're in the thick of it and somebody gives you a word of correction, well, let me put it this way. We got cats this week. And the cats were like, yes, Betty, it's true. They were like fighting and just playing. And one of them went like this, and their whole back went like this, and all their hair stood up. And I was like, check that out. How many times do you think that you can respond to correction like that? Right? We can. You know why? Because listening, learning, and applying means that we have to humbly hear what is being said. What if the person is 95% wrong? If you're wise, you hear the 5%. Because that 5% may be the difference in winning over someone's heart. And so we actively learn to apply things. How we respond matters. So what happens if we have a harsh tone with a family member or a coworker, and they say, hey, you know, what's up with you? So you know what? You're right. I said that a little bit too aggressively. Will you forgive me for that? They won't know what to do. You know, who is this guy from Mars? But they'll want to come to you again, and your relationship will deepen. Do we own our part of the problems? Are we able to take the log out of our own eye, or do we look for the speck in others? Do we ask, what's the kernel of truth in this? When we hear our kids or our grandkids say, how come you're always so annoyed with me? And we say, because you're being so annoying, right? No, we don't say that. We go, all right, you know what? That's not really a godly character. Lord, would you help me to have your Spirit? Because we don't pray for patience, we pray for filling of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Love, joy, peace, patience. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Yeah, I don't want to be annoyed. I love this person. We ask, how am I to be faithful, available, and teachable? And we happily make the changes. or allow the Lord to make the changes in us. Now, if we're teachable, we look for that percentage of truth and we respond graciously. Not as doormats, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we live and we learn and we apply those pieces of knowledge and wisdom, and then we live like nobody else. Being teachable has so much less to do with what we know than with how we're applying what we learn. It's especially powerful when you are in a position of authority. What's a position of authority? Parent? Grandparent? Some position of leadership in a job? Any kind of position of authority. When somebody corrects you, it can be challenging because whether you realize it or not, you're in a position of power. So much more winsome when you say, huh, thank you for telling me that. And learn and apply and be wise, faithful, available, teachable. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, what speaks to us more than anything else? All scripture is God-breathed all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be, look, complete, equipped for every good work. Be a Timothy. Our world needs a Timothy, especially in this day and age. Be a Timothy by being faithful in making sure that your concern is focused on the right things, on people, and that they would be established in knowing the author of life. Be available, making time for others, and with wide eyes looking for opportunities for God to use you. Be teachable by learning and living what God is speaking to you so that you'll actually be tangibly helpful, specifically helpful for others. Your grandkids need a Timothy. They're looking for him. Your coworkers need a Timothy. They wonder if there's hope. You young people, fellow students, they don't have a lot of time on their hands, so they maybe have not gone through a difficult time. They desperately need you to say, there is a God who gives us hope. They need a Timothy. Be that Timothy. Help them to refocus their anxiety for the future by casting their cares on Christ who cares for them, and focus their concern on others and following Christ. Our world is looking for heroes, and they will see them when we're faithful, available, and teachable. On your sermon outline, there's a picture of Dr. Lee. Anybody ever heard of this guy? I put him in there because Dr. Lee is like no one else, or I should say he was like no one else. An ophthalmologist, and he's going about his business, and he said, you know, this is kind of strange, you know. These people that are getting sick seem like they have SARS, right? Severe respiratory, what is it? Severe acute respiratory syndrome. It looks like different than what we're seeing. He talked to other doctors, one other doctor who, by the way, has disappeared, who said, yeah, I'm concerned. And then he posted it. 2 days later, the police came to his house in the middle of the night and made him confess, I'm spreading rumors. He eventually came out, and now they remember him as a hero. And on February 7th, they were walking around the city blowing whistles in protest, because this man was the one who really was different than anybody else. Does it matter who's in leadership? Yes, it does. If they won't recognize that there's a pandemic forming, then the heroes that rise up are the ones that blow the whistle. How much more is that true for us? When we know the King of the universe, who holds all things together, we focus on sharing that with others and getting them established. We do so by spending time making ourselves available, and we do this by learning and learning and learning and applying our knowledge. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. That's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Brothers and sisters, we can look forward to learning from principles in these pastoral epistles, Timothy, 1st and 2nd, and Titus, that apply super practically to every area of our life. Here is the question that is most important. Are you willing to allow the Lord to speak into your life? Are you willing to have your focus adjusted on His things? Are you willing to make yourself available? And are you willing to make yourself teachable? I think you are. And I think as we listen to those truths and we apply them to our lives, we will grow as fully devoted followers of Christ, and we will become more and more people like no one else. Father, we look at the world that's looking for heroes, a Chinese ophthalmologist that blew the whistle, superhero movies, war movies. Oh, Lord, we look to you as our hero, as the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, may our focus be on the right things, on the establishment and development of those around us, that they be connected to Christ in a real and tangible way. May we be wise with our time and our investment, that we're available for your things that last forever. And Lord, may we have ears to hear, that we would learn, we would listen, and we would apply your wisdom, that we would repent and turn from ways that are wrong, so that we would look more and more like the Lord Jesus. Amen.